I'm reading from chapter 12 of Hebrews. I trust you have your Bibles. The writer here says, because, or therefore, or wherefore, seeing that we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and also the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that has been set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, most Christians, whether or not they've ever read through the whole Bible, I trust that you have, but even if you haven't, I'm sure you have heard at one time or another a passage or a message from a pastor someplace on chapter 11 of Hebrews about the men of faith, the many Christians, the believers, the saints that lived in the Old Testament and how they lived their life, obtaining a testimony from God. Perhaps less known and less familiar, but I'm sure you may have heard the text I just read about running a race and looking unto Jesus. Our Christian life here in this text is compared to a race that we are supposed to run. I think in your mind you can think of the Olympics, you can think of the runners that are there. We have two thoughts here today. Run the race and look unto Jesus. And they're related, believe it or not. This is, or it should remind us of many places in Scripture where the Christian is given a title that corresponds to a particular action. An Olympian, an athlete, he is supposed to run. Paul uses the example of a soldier. What is a soldier supposed to do? He's supposed to fight the good fight. Paul in chapter 4 of Ephesians says that our life, our Christian life, is like a walk. How are we supposed to walk? We're supposed to walk worthy of the calling which God has called us. And so here we're called to run the race. This epistle to the Hebrews, it was written to a group of persecuted Christians, a group of people that were suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Some parts of Hebrews, you remember a few years ago, we worked our way through Hebrews, were written to unbelievers. Others are written to believers. And so even the section that is written to people that aren't Christians yet, maybe are just coming to church. Maybe you're one of those persons today that have come because somebody invited you, or it's the Friday when we have communion, the day that the Christian world celebrates the death of Christ. There are instructions for Christians too that we can learn and we can make or take examples for in our life. As I said, this epistle was written to a group of people that were experiencing persecution. And to them, maybe they thought, is this worth it? Maybe we should go back to the temple and worship there. Maybe we should leave Jesus Christ. Is it worth giving up your life? And what chapter 11 emphasizes for us, and what the people, the Hebrew believers that were reading this letter, this epistle, what they were experiencing, the writer here is telling them what you are going through in your life is not unique. The whole Testament is full of Christians, full of believers that suffered, were persecuted, and gave up their life because of their faith. You too, the writer here says, may be going through this. And you might give your life too. You might be a martyr. You might shed your blood as a witness and testimony for Jesus Christ. There's nothing unique about that. In fact, Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, as you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are you if you're persecuted because of your lifestyle, because of your faith. Specifically there he says, if you're persecuted because of your godly lifestyle or your righteousness. Blessed are you because in the very same way the prophets in the Old Testament were persecuted. And as you read chapter 11 of Hebrews, we read where there's names of many of them that were persecuted. History tells us that Isaiah was cut in half by a saw. Terrible death. You can read how some of the Christians in the Old Testament, or the believers, the saints, suffered. Jesus in John chapter 15 says that the servant is not greater than the master. And there Jesus is equating himself to being the master and us as being his slaves. And he says, if they're persecuting me, if they're going to put me to death, do not think that for you, you will escape. You too will suffer persecution. Later on, Peter asks Jesus about John. And says, well, what about him? And Jesus says, you have your race to run, and John has his race to run, and I have my cross to carry, as do all of us. Later on in John chapter 16, Jesus says, in the world, in other words, while we live here, until we go to be with Jesus Christ, while we're in this body, we will suffer persecution. This is something that is not unique. This is something that Christians have to expect. I remember one time a young man, I had the privilege of praying with him, and he gave his life to the Lord. He was actually, his father was actually a pastor, and we discussed the fact that he might encounter some opposition. He came from a slightly different Protestant background than our Baptist background, and he was worried about what the reaction would be when he went back and told his father that now he was really, truly saved. And a week later, we're talking, and he's starting to tell me about all of the things that are going on in his life that, to me, were a form of persecution or as a form of antagonism. And he was as happy as can be, and he says, when am I going to start experiencing persecution? And I said, just wait. It'll come. But Jesus said, as long as we live in this world, if we live godly lives, Peter says, you will suffer persecution. So what does all of this have to do with Good Friday and the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross? This illustration of a race. You can picture a stadium where people are running around. It says here that we are surrounded by a group, a big group of witnesses. And sometimes people mistakenly look at this text and they think that the Christians that are already in heaven, they're looking down and they're watching us live our life. But that is not what this text is saying. What this text says is, if you go back to chapter 11 and you read the biographies of all of those people, they are a testimony to us of how we are to live our Christian life, how we are to run this race of faith that God has called us to live in, or race to run or to walk. Our text tells us that the life we live as Christians, we are to live it with endurance. With gusto, if you can use that word. With all the strength you have. With discipline. Another way to say it is with patience. The way Jesus did. Verse 2, that's actually the ultimate example of somebody that ran the race as an example for us. It requires complete 100% sacrifice. You cannot be a Christian if you have not committed your life to Jesus Christ once he's called you and saved you. You cannot be a 5% Christian or a 10% Christian. Everything you own, everything you possess, your emotions, your thoughts, your love, your likes, everything belongs to the Lord. And it requires a sacrifice. Jesus said, first, deny yourself. That means everything you want, all the desires of your heart, they need to be emptied and they have to be filled up with the desires that God will put in there. And when you have denied yourself, that means there's no self-esteem or self-love in your life. Your love is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ and in his word. When you've denied yourself, that means you no longer love the world, as John says. You don't love the things in the world that are going to pass away because they're temporary. Instead, you love Jesus. Instead, you love the things of Jesus. You love the things of heaven. You love the eternal things. When you've denied yourself, then Jesus says, when you've done all that, One time the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what will we get? What kind of reward will we get? We have left everything. Jesus told them they're going to have eternal life. They're going to spend a glorious eternity as redeemed children of God. When you've denied everything that you have, when you've committed it all to the Lord, then Jesus says, then on top of that, Jesus says, then pick up your cross. And when you pick up your cross and it's heavy, then follow me where I lead you. That's the race God has called you to run. Faithfully to the end. And it's not whether you finish first or whether you finish last or you finish in the middle. You know, we had an Olympics recently here and there were some people that were still running 10 or 12 hours later. They were probably like me if I tried to run it or walk it. But there were some people there in wheelchairs and people without legs. There's all kinds of people doing it. And they all passed the finish line. And the point of this text is not the fact that Christians won't finish. Every single one of you today will finish your race. God has given every one of us a race to run. It's different, but every one of us will finish it. The question is how we will finish it. And whether we will finish it in the guidelines that Jesus Christ has set down for us. Notice there's two obstacles to running this race. There's weights. Now, athletes, they usually practice. They want to get strong and build up their muscles, and so they lift weights. Some runners, they wear weights on their feet. But when they go into the race, they take the weights off, do they not? Weights are the things in our life that keep us from running and ministering effectively. It's not necessarily sin. Sin is a different category here, the writer says. Sin will ensnare you. Sin will trap you. Sin will take you away, will get your eyes off of Jesus. But the weight of life is actually the things that we do every day. Our work, our sleep, our friends, our clothes, our food, our music, our entertainment, where we spend our money, what we do, whether or not we minister faithfully to the Lord, depends on how attached you are to the weights that you have purchased in your life in order to live life and be strong. Do you get the parallel? Do you get the message? These things can help you to be strong, but they can hinder you in your walk with the Lord. Sin, it's a more serious obstacle in your walk, in your race with the Lord. It's not that there's a sin here that you can commit that is unforgivable. For the unbeliever, there is an unforgivable, unpardonable sin. It is rejection of the cross and the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you reject Jesus, then you spend eternity condemned and separated from God. But if you are a Christian and you have sinned, what does 1 John write? He says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from only some sins, right? No, it says all sins. If we confess our sins, he, Jesus Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever worked out and you've been all dirty and sweaty and you go and you take a shower and you get all cleaned up and how good you feel physically. How good you feel spiritually when you know that you're sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. And so run the race that God has laid out for you. Run it the way the Old Testament believers did here in chapter 11. But most important, verse 2, run it the way Jesus Christ ran his race. You say, what kind of race did Jesus Christ have? He started out in the glories of heaven and he left it. And he ran down and he ended up in Bethlehem. And then he went up to Gethsemane. And then he went to the cross and he went to the tomb. And then he rose up again and he went back again to heaven in glory where he sits at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is the author. That means he started it. He wrote it. He pioneered it for us. He ran that race for us. He laid down the track. He walked the way for us. The door is open for us to follow him. He is the author. He not only started it, he's the finisher. He's the completer. He completed, he finished the race for us. When Jesus died that day on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is complete. No more to do." What are we supposed to do as Christians? We're supposed to run our race. And we run our race by looking to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Jesus, his whole life, over and over in the New Testament, says Jesus lifted his eyes to his heavenly Father and prayed. When you run your race, keep your eyes up on Jesus. Because when you get your eyes off of Jesus, you will trip up and fall into sin. Our wonderful Savior, he ran the race for us. He set the track for us. He calls us. He challenges us to follow it. And so I challenge you to today, as we think about what Jesus did, that we would live our life to the utmost. May Jesus bless his word. Amen.